News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
My script says, good morning. What does your script say? I can't hear you at all, as a matter of fact. Good morning and welcome to El Paso History Radio Show.
Am I here?
Did I find you? Did you find
me?
No,
mine says I'm not here. Oh, there I am.
Oh, I know where you are. You're on this mixer over here. You didn't tell me about that one.
Hello.
So I'm back to my script. My script says, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome.
Howdy,
El Paso History Radio Show,
et cetera, to
be here. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's good to be here. I mean, you know, we could be somewhere else and not be anywhere at all.
That's true. Yeah, I could still be in bed asleep.
That's an option.
Well, my cat keeps me awake at night.
A radio show we're doing. You know, it's about history. It matters in this dadgum town. We got better history than most anybody in North America.
That's true.
We do. And what do we do about it? Well, we talk on the radio. We do TV.
There's a few of us that mumble about it a lot.
Well, there's a
and you're mumbling more this week.
There's
too.
A programmed way to do it. We're going to talk to Bernie Sargent second hour about some more history we got started up on ABC7. And other than that, we always say Texas history begins in El Paso,
that's
and it's always
right.
on 690 AM. But where else might be found?
You can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link, and there you can listen to us all over the planet and on the space shuttle. Space station.
Okay, and we got trivia today, standard trivia.
Yes.
No, this is good trivia.
This is good. It's always good trivia. It's trivial. We were going to be giving away $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's and Canutillo, as well as we've got El Paso Gold DVDs.
Got some DVDs over there. What do you got there?
We have Historic Sites of Markers, Mount Cristo Rey, which was an exciting event last weekend. Tom Lee's El Paso Ghost Stories 2, 3, and 4. And
one's hard to come by.
Yes, and Legends of El Paso's Mountain.
Well, you can get a lot of history of El Paso by doing that. And what you do when you end up getting a lot of history, you figure out, okay, there's a bunch of neat stuff that happened in this place.
Well, there's nowhere you can go in El Paso where you aren't somewhere touching the history that has happened.
Oh, no,
place.
It's everywhere. Downtown is just full of it.
The dust gets all over you, and it's
all over
history.
History dust. Anyway, lunch at Pepe's today for those who can make it. And History Moment. You got a History Moment?
Oh, yes, I do. It was kind of a fun one that I ran into in regards to, speakeasies.
That's what it was.
Their technology that they used to stay one step ahead of the law.
High-tech with a bell
High-tech.
On a string.
Yes. No, it wasn't even a string. It was using electricity.
Oh, dear. Well, yes. We'll talk about that in the top of the second hour.
Yes.
Okay, right now, we're going to head ourselves to ghost towns. One specific ghost town, for sure.
Oh, one specific
but,
ghost
town. But I want to see what maybe just...
What about a really cool ghost town?
Yeah,
there's
a whole bunch of ghost towns in New Mexico we're talking about.
Yeah, not a fake one, like Knott's Berry Farm.
A guy who gives tours there and puts his soul into it is Keith Wilden. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Jackson.
Welcome here. Turn on Keith's microphone there, if you would, Sergio. We got Keith in here talking about the specifics of Shakespeare.
Right.
Where is that? Where's that microphone, Sergio? Did Andrew take our microphone and walk out with it?
I think he did.
Grab another one. Let's see what that
Give
one is.
Give a better
Let's
tin
try
can.
This one.
Try that
there
one.
There he is.
Oh, there we are.
Hello.
Keith, you're here.
I'm here.
Well, get rid of that other one, and we'll see. Just keep talking until we can't talk no more.
Okay.
But the point is, you are a guy who has volunteered to do an awful lot of Old West history. That interests you, doesn't it?
Over 30 years worth, one way or another.
Wow, 30 years. What do you mean 30 years worth? What have you been doing for 30 years?
Is that you're between living history and doing tours of this, that, and the other things here in El Paso and across the country.
And,
it's been 30 years now.
And what you do in southern New Mexico, you picked one ghost town. Why'd you pick Shakespeare?
It's my home away from home.
Is it really?
Is all there is to it. There was one time where I probably spent more time in Shakespeare than I did in El Paso.
Wow. And it's a ghost town.
It's a ghost town. It used to be a cattle ranch. That's been leased out to another person now because I don't have time to spend up there to push cows anymore.
You actually did that?
That's where I earned my cowboy spurs.
You were a cowboy punching cow?
I learned to cuss a cow in every language I can think of. And darn near branded myself. I've earned my spurs.
Oh, that could be
and
touchy.
The cow was waiting for that one.
And the whole deal is that you're now a tour guide.
I have been the chief tour guide, bottle washer, and gopher for 15 years now.
Why Shakespeare?
It's one of the few ghost towns that haven't been commercialized.
Oh.
It is what it is. I mean, it's Jenilu Hill, sit there until we lost her in 2005. She didn't want to get it polluted. Like Tombstone is so commercialized, it's always in danger of losing his historical designation.
But they make a living at it.
Actually, they don't. Nonprofit. Everything that we break into the town goes back into the town.
No, I mean Tombstone. They make a living
at
that.
They make a living at that. Shakespeare, no.
Okay, but that's your difference.
Yeah, that's the main difference.
So you could use a benefactor if that would be the case.
If I could find a whale, you better believe it.
Ah, and what would you do with too much money at Shakespeare? You have a ghost town with old buildings.
That's it. Maintenance. I've got a bunch of maintenance projects. I've been on hold for either between lack of manpower or a lack of funds. And like I said, it's been accumulating here in the last few years. We've been kind of in a stagnation cycle because ill health. In fact, I've got a real job, so I'm there at 9 to 5, so I can only be up there weekends, and you only accomplish so much.
Well, you're the guy we run into when we go to jury duty.
That's it.
And you're the man who says, yes, no, maybe so, sign here, move, sit over there.
Yep, that's basically it, or go up or go home, or okay, this is what's going on, what we need to do to fix it.
And that's how normally I see you. I see you
exactly
at jury duty. But you've been also on the circuit of the cowboy business. You were a reenactor for a while, weren't you?
I've been a reenactor, living historian. Don't fall. Well, I can still fall down. That getting back up is getting harder and harder over the years.
You just play the dead person that stays dead.
I watch Melissa and Bernie fall down. I'm like, how you people do that?
That's right.
Well, the falling ain't the problem. It's
exactly.
Getting back up.
We're getting to be the old West. And you watch us walk.
Yeah.
See if they can walk. Well, your deal in Shakespeare, explain to people why that's an important ghost town. It's kept and it's intact. But the point is, you needed money to maybe repaint some of those old buildings.
Well, sit there. We got a lot of adobe work we got to do. We got a lot of lumber. We're fixing dry rotted windows. It takes lumber and time and skill, which I don't have. You haven't seen me try to put two pieces of wood together.
So you could use some help.
Always can use help.
You have a website or an email?
The best place to get a hold of us right now is go through the website or our Facebook. We actually have a Facebook page.
It's called?
Shakespeare Ghost Town.
There you go. Okay.
And if you're going online, the website is shakespeareghosttown.com with one T.
What's the T?
In other words, basically ghost, then O-W-N.
Oh, I see. So that's how some people don't find you.
Right.
Okay. But that's how to get a... Okay. The ghost town of Shakespeare has an unusual name. Who named it?
Well, actually... The original name of the area was Mexican Spring.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, where it's a key point and it ties into El Paso history, the fact is it was a watering stop on the southern road to the California gold fields during the 1850s.
Okay.
It was also an alternate stop for the Butterfield Stage.
Okay, so that was prior to railroad, so they made this go through that town.
Right.
The railroad doesn't go through that town,
does
it? No,
because when it went through in 1880, it went down below it because it was easier to build down there in Playas.
Sure, of course.
And that's where the town of Lordsburg came into being.
But the first building that was built there was built by the Army, correct?
Right, because they had a military road going from Mesilla up to Tucson, and it was one of their way stations.
Yeah. But there were several names to the town,
right.
but there was also a lot of bad bad problems with those names.
Well, then in 1869, they discovered silver. They named the area Ralston City in honor of the president of the Bank of San Francisco, who financed the development. Then when those nodes played out, then it became the origin for the great diamond swindle of 1872.
Oh, yeah. Now, we do need to hear about that in detail.
Yeah, I did a history moment on that one.
Let's build up to that, however.
Okay. So, who
built the town?
Well, the original setup was the Army, basically, that we know of. We had at least two buildings.
The U.S. Army started it.
Right.
Okay, but they didn't start a ranch. They started what?
Oh, they started, it was a mail station, basically.
Oh, that's it.
Because military road is, just think of it as a slow pony express. They didn't ride heck for leather like the Pony Express did. Basically, it was buckboards and spring wagons carrying a correspondence, hard mail in between Mesilla and Tucson.
Okay.
Of course, it was rendered obsolete in 76 with the telegraph.
Okay.
And then, of course, they abandoned the buildings. But the first major buildup was during the first boom in 69. We had over 3,000 people living in that area.
Easy. And where are all those houses now?
And most of them are gone.
Just fell over?
Because what happens is, of course, when you move, when the boom, after the diamond swindle, when folks are leaving, hey, adobe's cheap, but the lumber for your doors and roofing costs money, so you took that with you to build your new home. And of course, adobe exposed to the elements doesn't take long before it becomes a pile of dirt.
A pile of mud over here. Well, Shakespeare is an unusual place. And how do you, where is it?
Okay, it's about 2.5 miles south of Lordsburg. You get off in that center exit. I can't remember the number, but hey, if you hit the Mickey D's, you're there.
Okay.
Hey, make that left turn, you follow the road out about in 2.5 miles. If you pass the cemetery, you went too far, you just follow the arrows on in, and you're there.
You have some buildings still standing,
yes,
right?
We have 7 buildings still standing, plus a nice visitor center with some of the artifacts from the Hill family, who probably have been in charge of the town longer than the town was.
Where'd they get a name like that?
Okay.
Well, Colonel William G. Boyle, was
right.
He English?
He was an English mining engineer. He's one of two that was bouncing around this area, which makes life interesting when you're trying to research, because you'll follow one track, you think it's our Boyle, and it's a completely different one. But anyway, both of them were active in this area. After the diamond swindle in 79, the price of silver is up. He owned two of the old claims there at what used to be Ralston City. He reopened the claims. That's when the town got the name Shakespeare, because him being an Englishman and fond of the bard.
Fond of the bard.
He renamed it Shakespeare.
I see.
The main street became Avon Avenue, and my favorite pun of the whole thing
is
he renamed the hotel the Stratford.
Of course. And Avon is just down the road.
No, the Stratford upon Avon.
Of course.
And it's like, okay, I was been there for 10 years before somebody pointed it out to me. But gave
never even quite yet, though.
You gave myself a concussion if I smacked myself in the forehead.
That has a precedent in England.
It does.
And, well, it's an interesting history there, and we have to find out more what happened, because when it was a mining town or not?
It was a mining camp.
Were they mining?
Silver, some gold.
Where?
In the ridges surrounding what's now the town site. When you actually get there, if you look at the one ridge, you'll see there's two tailings from two of the old mines, the Ransom and the 85. You had the banner about another quarter mile past that. 3 mines down in the little bowl on the other side of the town site, the Henry Clay, the Santa Anita, and like I said, silver. I mean, originally it was silver, some gold, believe it or not, emeralds.
Emeralds?
They had an emerald deposit, and I was looking it up the other day, and I forget how the one vein was like 4 foot wide and about 150 foot long.
And that's not a joke, like the diamonds.
No, not a joke.
The diamonds were planted.
Right.
Let's get
that
to that after the break.
Yeah.
We got.
Yeah.
But the fact is, somebody salted the mine with diamonds and had investors come in, and then the diamonds hit the fan.
Right.
Oh, yes, they did.
Diamonds hit the fan.
Diamonds hit the fan. Look out, folks. We'll talk about that in a minute. We got to do trivia.
Yes,
Keith,
we do.
Keith Wilden is talking history here.
That's fun. Shakespeare's got a wild history. It's very interesting when you look it up.
And a lot of tie-ins to El Paso over the years.
Well, that's the point, yeah. I mean, all these little towns look to the big old El Paso to get their honky-tonk players, their side of bacon or whatever.
Well, plus also, after the railroad win in 1880, where do you think all the ore went?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Came right into town.
Came to Asarco.
Exactly.
Probably
Asarco. Place to go.
All right, what do we got for way of trivia questions here?
Well,
we got something.
Speaking of Shakespeare,
yeah.
We would like to know for the first question for our $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's in Canutillo or an El Paso Gold DVD. The first question is, who named Shakespeare Ghost Town?
You just told me that.
Yes, this is the final
name. Is that
name.
The point?
Yes, this is
You're
the final name.
You're trying to get that
town.
Answer?
I'd love to have that answer.
On the phone. And
on
then
the phone.
There's another question, too.
We have
too.
Another question.
Ah.
Who built the first building in Shakespeare in
1857? Oh, I know this one. 1857?
Yes. 1857.
Okay, we got this locked up.
So who named the town, its final name, which is still stands today? And then who was the first one to build, or what group first built the built the first building in Shakespeare.
Easy for you to say.
I know.
Okay, but whoever it was, they're important because
that's
they'll be
right.
The answer to the question that gets you the Pepe's or the DVD.
That's right.
See, I got this all knocked
out.
Got
this all figured out.
We're done.
Out.
Okay, but they got to call us.
Call us at 915-581-7920.
No, that's not the number.
Oh, don't call me at home. Please don't call me at home. I'm sorry. 544, I can't even think today. 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
You sure?
No,
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
So what's on your Saturday to-do list?
Dave!
Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield, owner of the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. If you're at all like me and my wife, always something, right? And I bet somewhere on your to-dos is that oil change you've been meaning to get to. If I'm right, we'll know that we can do your full-service oil change today for just $29.95 for most cars. And it includes a full-service car wash and more. Our world-class service department can handle just about every one of your car to-do issues. State inspections, too.
Luke?
We're open now, or book your no-wait service appointment at CasaKia.com, and we'll see you here.
Luke, honey.
Maybe. So what's on your Saturday to-do list?
Dave.
Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield, owner of the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. If you're at all like me and my wife, always something, right? And I bet somewhere on your to-dos is that oil change you've been meaning to get to. If I'm right, we'll know that we can do your full-service oil change today for just $29.95 for most cars. And it includes a full-service car wash and more. Our world-class service department can handle just about every one of your car to-do issues. State inspections, too.
Luke?
We're open now, or book your no-wait service appointment at CasaKia.com, and we'll see you here.
Luke, honey.
Maybe.
No! Come on, man!
Howard is sacked for the fourth time today, and the clock runs out.
That was worse than last week's game.
You know what else has gotten worse? The news about Yvette Harrell.
What, you're kidding? What'd she do this time?
When Yvette was state rep, she funneled $500,000 in taxpayer money to an organization run by her mother.
Hold on, I thought $500,000 of our money went to Harrell's company.
It did.
Oh, that's a selfish play.
So now we're talking almost $1 million of our money, and part of it went to Harold's company, and the rest of it went to her mother's organization?
Yep, and don't forget the thousands she spent on the trip she took across the country.
How does this keep happening?
Man, flag on the play, Yvette.
You know, Harold's fellow Republicans flagged it too, and warned she's only in it for herself.
Can't argue with that call.
Nope, time to take Yvette Harrell out of the game.
Paid for by DCCC, dccc.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. DCCC is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Play the new Ralph Breaks the Internet game from Nuvve Arcade in theaters now. Just download the Nuvve Arcade app and get to your seat early to join Ralph and Vanellope for a little pancake milkshake fun. Nuvve Arcade. Download, play, win.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on here in the history of the world here of El Paso. The Tinnevitzes are happening.
Oh, you know about them. Oh,
huh?
They're lovely people.
They're doing a 12 travelers board with Lubia and Alexander Tinnevitz. The event is titled the Tinnevitz Exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you like the way I say that, Tinnevitz?
Mm-hmm.
I like Tinnevitz. The way I say that.
Say what
it is. Thursday, November the 8th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's the former Charlotte's Furniture, Peppertree Square, 5411 North Mesa. Kenna Ramirez is the event chair. Jan Ingles is running this thing. And what they're doing is they're having a talk by the artists, and they're going to donate a portion of the proceeds of their painting sold that night to the 12 Travelers and the Benito Juarez Monument, because they're honoring their good friend John Hauser. Mm-hmm. So that's an event Thursday night. That's the 8th of November on 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on 5411 North Mesa. And also a holiday open house coming December 1th. You can't say 1th. But I did.
Holiday
open house on December the 1st, 2018, noon to 5 at the McGoffin Home and the Visitor Center. Got two places to decorate up over there now, and so that'll be fun. And that's December 1, noon to 5. You got your traditional stuff going on. Come get cozy with the McGoffins.
That's right.
Even the ones that are deceased.
Now, you've also got Ta-da! We should have a drum roll for this. The El Paso Museum of Archaeology reopens Saturday, November 17th, and it's just in time for those holidays where you've got the families coming in to visit, and they're going to start their first opening, like I said, the 17th. They're going to start back up with their 2018 lecture series, and this is the one, the reverse engineering of Salado polychrome pottery.
Huh?
It's going to be, mouthful.
What'd she say?
Presented by the Salado Polychrome Pottery, presented by Andy Ward. And he's a potter, and he's going to give a lecture at 2 p.m., and then he's going to demonstrate this unique firing technique that he has at 3:45 p.m. And then on the 24th, they're going to have a Native American storytelling with Alex Maris, and he's going to have around a campfire in the desert by the museum, and he's going to tell Navajo, Pueblo, and Apache stories. And he's going to do all these different things with the cultural background and the stories. And it's bring a lawn chair. They're going to have hot chocolate will be served. And this is a great outdoor event for everybody. And that will be on the 24th of November from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Probably see the stars out there when you're doing that. So.
How cool could you get? Just kind of get the feeling of what it would have been to be an Indian child.
And Alex knows a bunch of stories.
Oh, he knows great stories.
I saw him a couple of weeks ago. He's still out there doing his thing. Okay, let's talk about real quick, Kate, not so quick, but I mean, what's the deal with the diamonds? Because we're talking Shakespeare. We need a caller. 544-5876. Ring us up.
You're calling my house.
Generally speaking, they do this. They don't call the first time we say this.
That's true.
544-KTSM, you got 20 bucks in Pepe's, you got some DVDs. And also, these are hard questions. Read the questions again.
Yes, it was who named Shakespeare Ghost Town and who built the first building in Shakespeare. They're not that hard.
We know about this.
Yes, but you can find it online, too, easy.
But Shakespeare is an unusual place because it was one of the Old West locations where somebody tried to pull the wool over somebody's eyes with some diamond. Keith Wilden is here explaining that. Explain that story.
Okay. The mining boom there at Shakespeare's dwindling down. The initial strikes were all surface pockets of low-grade ore.
What year, roughly?
This is by 1871, beginning of 72.
So low-grade ore is coming out of the existing mines.
Right. So basically, they're already getting ready to shut down the mines. Well, we had two businessmen and a couple of three other investors, one to keep things going for a while longer because they were making money besides the mines.
Services.
Yeah, to keep things going, what they did is he had two men smuggled in a cigar box full of raw diamonds. They went out to this one sharp peak out there called Lee's Peak. They seeded the ant beds. So basically it made it look like the ants were bringing the stones out when they were burrowing into the mountain. They created a company and started trading stock in diamond mines.
Oh, boy.
This was the stock was traded on the European and New York stock exchanges.
How long did this go on?
It got things going on for about another 18 months or so.
Oh, my God. So that's how Shakespeare got the reputation.
Right. Well, at that time, Ralston City.
How did it turn out?
Well, thing is, a guy by the name of King, who was a government surveyor that came through here after the Gadsden purchase to do the initial survey for resources for the Southern Transcontinental Railroad, which was supposed to be the first one, he didn't sit there and say, hey, I don't remember seeing any evidence of diamonds. And, of course, now we start to see rubies and emeralds coming up along with the diamonds, which doesn't happen in nature.
He had to go track
it down. Now, the thing is, though, there's different places that say that, hey, they're the source of this whole affair. A lot of the first-person accounts, especially the folks writing their autobiographies that try to whitewash their role in it, all pointed to Ralston City as the focal point of this. Anyway, King finally found the locations, started examining some of the stones. First of all, he found that unusual. Then some of these stones actually have minor lapidary marks on them, chisel marks. So, of course, he pronounced it as all a fraud and basically exposed the whole thing. Of course, folks left Ralston City to avoid the taint of the scandal. That's where we kind of died out. We only had basically two operations still going on in town. We had the general merchandise, then we also had the stage station.
Okay, you have Ralston and you have Shakespeare. What's the difference?
Basically about 2 years.
Oh, it's the same place?
It's the same place.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Because what ended up happening when the silver hit an all-time high in 79, you got Shrefflin and his strike over there and the Dragoons, with that little town camp called Tombstone. Well, Boyle shows up. He's got these two claims, and they're now worthwhile to actually work. He can't bill his camp as Ralston City because everybody still remembers the 5 years earlier it was Ralston City and the Diamond Swindle.
Right.
So that's when he renamed the camp Shakespeare. He built it as a brand new camp. Everybody kind of conveniently forgot about Ralston City.
Okay, that's how you did it.
That's how they did it.
So that's the diamond story out in the middle of the desert where there really are no diamonds.
It's just some interesting, another one of those wonderful, you know, Far West swindle stories that went on out here.
Yep.
It's just crazy.
Well, the thing against me is, again, during this first boom and up into the diamond swindle, one of the chief thugs working for the company, you know, both for the mining company, the legitimate one, and the diamond in the company, was the Texas cowboy by the name of William Brocious, we might have heard of.
What would he do?
Basically, of course, because of his kinky hair, he's also known as Curly Bill.
Oh.
Curly Bill.
So he was a part of Billy the Kid's world?
No, out of Tombstone.
Tombstone,
yeah. Oh, I see that direction.
Yeah, Curly Bill.
Plus also,
well, there's Brushy Bill.
The oral history. You had Curly Bill. Supposedly, he was the head thug. Now, he's also sat there darn near arrested. Matter of fact, sent in jail and escaped here in El Paso prior to showing up there at Shakespeare. I just found that account here not too long ago. So, yeah, we've arrested him and here in El Paso, arrested him and actually jailed him at least once and almost got him twice more for stolen animals and various other things. So anyway, we've got that connection. With help. Of course, he was the head thug there. Matter of fact, according to the oral history, he didn't die up in Iron Springs in 82 like Wyatt Earp claimed he did. Their tradition is he showed up there in town with a case of measles, and that gunshot wound he got in Galeyville had gotten infected. They did the usual Shakespeare doctoring routine because it seemed like we never had an actual doctor there. So what happened is they turned around and wrapped him up in a blanket, poured a bottle of whiskey down his throat, and repeated the next day. And
put him in a corner.
And the third day, well, they didn't need the whiskey because it didn't cure him.
Put him in a box and said bye-bye.
Now, the thing is, this shows you their opinion of Wyatt and his posse. They didn't want him to have a body to parade around. So, oral tradition. He's buried in the basement of the General Merchandise.
Oh, my God. In this
really?
Yes, one more break here. We're talking to Keith Wilden. We're going to take a break here and come back and talk Shakespeare somewhere.
Wow. I didn't know. That was interesting,
And on your way to break here, why don't you pick a Pepe special here?
Oh, I don't need to even pick. Such as the Red Chili Meat Enchiladas.
Red Chili Meat Enchiladas is today's Oñate special at Pepe's Restaurant in Cañotillo because Keith Wilden said so.
That's right.
That's
all we need.
And so they are good. I've had them.
Whoa.
Right. There we go.
And the whole crowd showed up. And that's the control room crowd, by the way. And Shelley needs to have somebody call her.
Yes.
Because she's standing there just hanging out.
Oh, come on. These questions are easy.
And
come
if you want to get your Pepe's $20, it's worth the trip.
Yes, I know.
And so what are the questions again?
The questions are, is who named Shakespeare Ghost Town? And then also, who was who were the people
who built
the first building in 1857, or just whoever built the first building? You don't have to know the year.
We'll see what happens, but they call us.
Yes. Give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055. Text JOIN to 44055.
Guts, integrity, and hard work. That's what it takes to be a great governor. And that describes Michelle Lujan Grisham. This is former Senator Jeff Bingaman. During my years in office, I saw how true leaders can best serve their constituents. And Michelle has the tenacity and passion to be a true champion of New Mexico families. As a small businesswoman, Michelle has helped to save people's lives by working to provide health care to very sick patients who had been denied insurance coverage. And as head of the state's aging and health departments, Working for both Republican and Democratic governors, she exposed abuse and neglect in long-term care facilities, and she shut down the bad actors. Michelle's a true leader who has what it takes to be a great governor. I'm proud to support her, and I hope you'll join me in voting for Michelle Lujan Grisham for governor.
Paid for by New Mexicans for Michelle.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on this week. We had ABC 7. We'll talk more about it second hour. But we put a piece of history video out there for the first time in quite a while.
A lot of people made really great comments. They were really happy what you guys did.
And we'll talk to Bernie second hour because Bernie's the on-camera dude. I'm the camera operator. And we'll talk more.
Producer, too.
Well, producer, yeah. And this week coming up is the Camino Real. We'll talk about that on the air. Okay, also a new exhibit opening on downtown neighborhoods. Is that my microphone doing that, sir? Apparently.
A
new exhibit opening on downtown neighborhoods at the Centennial Museum. It's open now. That's up at UTEP University Avenue in Wiggins. You can call them up to get directions. I'll give you that number in a minute.
Where'd you go?
In a cave.
In a cave.
I walked into
We went back into the closet.
Just get out of the closet.
Move the mop.
But let me tell you about this exhibit. It's at the Centennial Museum, the Chihuahuan Desert Gardening exhibit opening, Where the World Met the Border. What does that mean? I don't know. Ask them. It's El Paso's South Side. It's featured in this new exhibit about El Paso's Second Ward, and Duranguito is defined in there. It's opening. It's open now through April 27th. Also, they still have that exhibit open about El Paso in World War II, Rations, Rights, and Rivets, Experiencing World War II in El Paso. And that's an interesting one. Here's their number, 747-5565. Talk to them. And they're renovating the front of the Centennial. Do you see that picture?
Yeah, I did.
They got the whole place torn up. I think he's still getting it back.
So. I hope they keep it somewhat to the original. I really like the original.
It's going to happen.
I hope so.
What do you got?
Well, we have the Woman's Hike. Sunday, November 4th, which
take
is going to be tomorrow.
All you women, yes, take a hike.
And, that's their monthly hike, and they will be hiking on the Directismo Trail at the tramway, and they're coming down through the Thousand Steps Trail. And
oh, they're going over the thing.
They're going over the thing on the west side, and you must RSVP, so give them a call up there today at 562-9899, and that'll be at 8 a.m., and then they're going to have, let's see, the last Sunday hike. Well, that's a repetitive thing. It's coming back again.
Oh, I did that?
No, that's all right. Okay, and the Sunset Heights Film Society continues to show films each Sunday afternoon in November at the International Art Museum.
Well, it's Saturday mostly, but they got one on Sunday this week.
The special one is, this event is November 4th. November 4th. And they're meetings with remarkable men. And this is, it was filmed in 1979, and it's the El Paso premiere. That's not telling me much about it. But, okay, it's November 10th. They're going to have the Cider House Rules. They're also going to have, November 17th, Goodwill Hunting. November 24th, Finding Forrester. And these are all kind of like fall-based films, which is interesting. And the movies are free at the museum, which is at 1211 Montana. It's a great place to go watch films. And the Brown Street Theater doors open at 11:30 p.m. and it's free. And just as you got popcorn, it's a great little theater to go to.
You go and buy some popcorn, make Jay happy. He loves to see that going on.
And he just loves it.
He'll tell you about movies.
Oh, my gosh.
If you have an old movie poster, he'll buy it.
Or an old film.
Yeah, he'd probably buy
that. He loves those too, yes.
All right, let's go back.
Or just talk trivia.
Let's go talk to Keith Wilden about Shakespeare again. We put this picture up on Facebook. Yep. What is that?
That is the main gate leading into town, and the structure there on the left of your radio is the dance studio.
Yeah, it needs a coat of paint.
Yep, well, that's another building we're renovating right now.
Wow.
That building actually started off at the Santa Rita Mines up there by Silver City in about 1917, 1918.
And they moved it?
And it got moved several times and finally ended up there in the early 60s. Jan Lou Hill and her mother Rita removed three of the interior partition walls, converting the left side of the house into one long gallery, and they used that as a dance studio for over 30 years.
Well, that's way cool. But so that's Shakespeare. We got a picture of it up on our Facebook page. 3,827 people have seen that picture since I put that up Wednesday night.
That sounds about right.
And that's just Facebook. I mean,
that's just Facebook. Yeah.
Quite a few people looking at this here radio show, and we do what we can here.
Yeah.
To make sure people understand the history of the region and El Paso. El Paso was well connected to all these little towns that are now ghost towns.
Right, because like Shakespeare, you had Pie Town, to a certain extent Hillsboro, all those little mining communities throughout the Black Range, the Pyramids, the Burrow Mountain ones, Silver City, once they finally got a railroad.
Mogollon.
Yeah, Mogollon, all center ore to El Paso for smelting.
Okay.
I mean, let's face it, you know, Columbus to a certain extent goes to El Paso.
Well, back in those days, they were probably sending the ore to the smelter that was over on Memorial Park.
Right.
Not the one at Asarco.
Right.
Asarco didn't
start
up
until the late 80s.
The federal smelter was what now became Memorial Park.
That was the original one. And then you had a smaller facility. I can't remember what year it went in there, over where Phelps Dodge is, or whatever they call it today. In that area.
Yeah, it's Freeport MacMoran.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But anyway, there one time we had three smelters in operation.
Function. But the big one running over on Memorial Park, I never knew why it quit. It just probably was in a bad location.
That was probably it. And then American Smelting, when they first went in, said they were basically probably, it was closer and easier to get to.
I know why. Asarco had two railroads for servicing it, so it could get ore from everywhere quickly. But also, Asarco had the river.
Yep.
They had the water they needed for the process on the plant. And over at Memorial Park, they wouldn't have had the water.
Nope.
They had the railroad, one railroad.
Yeah, one railroad, and that was it.
So there's the big difference. And that's what, you know, it was kind of weird to realize that entire Memorial Park was a smelter. That's all covered up slag and stuff under there. Don't be digging too deep with your dog in there looking for stuff.
No.
But back to the Shakespeare business. Because the ghost towns, they were all over the place, the little towns that now became ghost towns.
Right.
Is there anybody else running a ghost town that's worthy?
Well, the granddaughter is still trying to keep Steen's open by appointment only.
Steen's.
Which is a railroad town up there at the pass right there on the New Mexico-Arizona line.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, as you're heading toward Arizona from Lordsburg, it's probably the next to the last exit before you get up crossing Arizona.
How about Three Rivers? Is there anything left there for a ghost town?
I haven't been up there in years. I don't know what's still up there.
I don't
Three
think
Rivers.
There's much there. But Mogollon, I think it's slightly functional. But
it's not much. And, of course, trying to get in there, every time I course, I only get up there in February, so it's like, hey, it's always a kind of iffy thing to get in and out.
Yeah, with the passes in the snow.
You're right.
But also Hillsboro.
Hillsboro.
That's still a functioning town.
That's a functioning town. It's there capitalizing on the tourist trade and arts and crafts, last I checked.
But they did find a huge amount of silver there at one point.
Right. That was, and plus also it being on a railroad made it even easier to access their mines and get them down to El Paso.
They found something called the Bridal Chamber.
Right. That was probably the largest deposit of silver discovered in this part of the country.
Some guy sold the claim the next afternoon. The new guy broke in. And
yep.
Yeah. Can you imagine what if Oñate had found that? Because that's what he was looking for.
Oh, I know.
That's specifically what he was looking for, that kind of silver thing going on.
Yep. I got to laugh because one of the other oral traditions, we're talking about silver. During the first boom, you know, and the big fuss, supposedly that's when Ballard and those folks up in Pinos Altos came trucking down to see what the big fuss was about.
know how to turn out.
And they saw, okay, this black loamy stuff, that's silver? Well, I know where a pile of that is. So they went back and staked their claims, and thus Silver City was born.
I see. So they didn't recognize it in the raw natural form.
Yeah, that's what, as a matter of fact, if you look at it, you know, I said, if you ever look at the veins, you know, you get the milk quartz and you get the little black lines in there, you wouldn't know it was silver.
Could it be gold?
Well, gold, there's no doubt about it.
But I mean, gold is also in quartz.
That's in there, too. There's small amounts.
Well, tell us more about this business of Shakespeare. What are you doing about it now?
Right now, we're down to just one tour a month, sit there the second Sunday and preceding Saturday of each month, which means next weekend is tour weekend. We have four tours, 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, both Saturday and Sunday. Depending on the crowd, they run about anywhere from an hour and a half. I've been known to do a four-hour tour, only because the fact is, hey, we got a good crowd. And as me and usually the gentlemen are discussing and trading opinions and stories we've heard, and the wives are tapping their watches saying, hey, we got to get someplace to go. You know how that goes.
Yes.
Anyway, but yeah. But
so what do you do on your tour?
Well, we sit there and we tell stories. Most of them are based off of the oral traditions, plus some of the research we've found where we have to kind of throw out the oral traditions. Go through the buildings, talk about some of the events happening there, to include our informal hangings.
Whoa.
And
a couple of those went on?
Yeah, a couple, anywhere depending, 8 to over 30.
Oh.
We do know for a fact who the last two guests of honors were, and Bob and Alexander and I kind of disagree whether that was a formal one or not.
Oh, but something happened.
Yep.
So as you go on these tours, it's next weekend, 10 and 2 on how do people find you? Again, it would be Facebook?
Facebook or the website, ShakespeareGhostTown.com with one T.
What's the Facebook page?
It should be Shakespeare Ghost Town, New Mexico.
Okay. I'm putting your webpage up right now and on our Facebook page, and I also want to make sure I get the Facebook page.
And on
is there a phone number that they can
Right about now until the end of the year, our phone number is one of those, it was when somebody gets in the house to answer, clear out the answering machine.
What is that number?
Because right about now, we're in a transition. And
you want to give up some other number?
Right about now, I don't have a good number I can give out yet.
In that case, it's
a website. So no number for right now.
Because what's happened is, about since May, we've been in kind of a maintenance mode. We lost the owner of the town.
Yeah.
I got 2 hours off from being the 15th anniversary of his wife's passing.
Oh.
Which I thought was, I called it. The new owners, his daughter inherited the town. She and her husband are now in the process of getting everything packed up in Ohio so they can move lock, stock, and barrel out to Shakespeare.
For real?
For real.
Wow. And they're going to live off of tourism, it sounds like.
Well, they're retiring, and hopefully we're not going to live. That's the determinant. That's because once they get in there, we have our board meeting. We're going to find out which directions we're going to go with the town.
Cool.
And
I presume they appreciate your work and your history.
Yep, and unfortunately right about now I'm kind of the historian emeritus until they get caught up on the everything.
Shakespeare Ghost Town, what we're talking about here. Interesting place. We take a break here. Keith Wilden's in the house. You want to talk to him, 544-whatever.
544-5876. I'm working on the Facebook page.
Come on. It's been how long since I was a regular caller? I remember that.
544-KTSM. Well, I was looking at Shakespeare Facebook page right now.
Is he up there?
Yes, he is.
Cool.
So I'm getting that loaded up for everybody.
544-KTSM, back in a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
No! Come on!
on, man.
Howard is sacked for the fourth time today, and the clock runs out.
That was worse than last week's game.
You know what else has gotten worse? The news about Yvette Harrell.
What, you're kidding. What'd she do this time?
When Yvette was state rep, she funneled $500,000 in taxpayer money to an organization run by her mother.
Hold on. I thought $500,000 of our money went to Harrell's company.
It did.
Oh, that's a selfish play.
So now we're talking almost $1 million of our money, and part of it went to Harrell's company, and the rest of it went to her mother's organization?
Yep, and don't forget the thousands she spent on the trip she took across the country.
How does this keep happening?
Man, flag on the play, Yvette.
You know, Harrell's fellow Republicans flagged it too, and warned she's only in it for herself.
Can't argue with that call.
Nope, time to take Yvette Harrell out of the game.
Paid for by DCCC, DCCC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. DCCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
An illegal migrant caravan heads to the U.S.-Mexico border. Already it's committed violence at the southern Mexican border with no regard for the laws of any nation. The caravan could have thousands stream into New Mexico within weeks. So where do the congressional candidates stand on the caravan? Yvette Harrell supports tougher immigration laws and border security. She supports building the wall. Harrell believes that those who have waited years to immigrate to America should be first in line. And Social Tora Small? She supports sanctuary cities. Tora Small has attacked plans for military on our border to deter gang members, MS-13, and other criminal elements from entering our country so Americans are safer. It's really simple. Yvette Harrell will defend our border and our sovereignty. Social Tora Small will not. Remember that when you vote in the race for U.S. Congress.
Paid for and authorized by Our Values PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Looking to save on Medicare Part D? Switching to Walgreens may help you save on your Medicare Part D prescription. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Talk to the pharmacist to learn more.
We're on the radio here.
I have to sing the song all by myself.
Had no intro there.
Hello, yep. We're back.
All that good stuff. Well, no,
we're here.
We're back here doing radio.
Mumbling in our songs.
Telling you about November 13 through 16. Guess what happens then? You can't guess. Oh, you have a piece of paper that says so. But if you help plan the future of the Mission Trail.
Ooh.
The 13th to the 16th of November, the county is doing this. It's hosted by the El Paso County Heritage Tourism Coordinator, Valerie Venicia. Get a hold of her if you want to get involved in this. It's going to be at the Tigua Tribal Courthouse, 9241 Socorro Road. You will be discussing making the Mission Trail a World Heritage Site through UNESCO. That's what they're doing. They got 3 days of comments. They got one of them charrettes.
Charrette.
But anyway, that crowd's going to do their thing. Get a hold of Veronica. No, I'm sorry, Valerie. 546-2177. Her extension is 3108. And Keith, do you know this person?
I haven't met her yet.
Okay, but she's a county employee?
Yep.
Okay, and so are you?
Yes, so am I.
Okay, so there. But so anyway, this is going to help plan the future of the Mission Trail. Melissa, what do you got over there?
I have Dia de los Muertos, which is happening today at 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Concordia Cemetery. They're going to have special events going on out there. They're going to have entertainers. Everybody's going to come dressed. You can come dressed as Dia de los Muertos, Katrina, or, you know, whatever you want to come dressed. Come in your Halloween costume.
Can I put a candy skull on my
head? Put a candy skull on your head and enjoy yourself out there. But they're going to have calaveras, paintings, events, include artisans, vendors.
It's a big deal.
Scavenger hunts. Yes, live music, food trucks, altares, they have matachines, mariachis, Aztec dancers.
Who are those guys in the big stilts?
I just went totally blank.
But whoever they are, they...
Those
guys.
I used to say...
How do they do that?
Mojigaga.
You ever see them getting set up and getting in their costume?
Yes, so the big, tall, 10-foot, 12-foot...
human being.
Yes, somebody will call me and correct me on that. He had
whatever it is, he's a 12-foot tall guy.
Yes, they're big puppets.
Okay, but that's today at Concordia.
At Concordia Cemetery, they're 2 to 8 p.m. It's only $5 to get in. It's a big fundraiser for Concordia Cemetery again.
Help them out.
And it's a great event.
You can't throw a 10 in the pot.
Well, you could throw $10, $20, $30, $100 bill would be nice.
$33
bill.
Yes. Throw that in there.
But bring everybody out. And the kids under 6 are free, but definitely get out there. It's a fun event. It's the only one of its kind in the region that's actually in the cemetery.
And that's what's unusual about El Paso. The Day of the Dead is a very different experience. Second hour today, we're going to ask Mr. Bernard Sargent to explain this to
us. Yes, he's a dead guy.
Because he's been around this stuff long enough.
He's old enough to
history
be
just kind of like sticks to him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Second.
All right. Some of that dead history dust.
We've got Keith Wilton here for a couple more minutes. This hour has gone fast, Keith.
Yep.
We're talking about Shakespeare. You have a ghost town from yesteryear that once upon a time had a weird fraud known as salting diamonds.
Right, the diamond swindle of 72.
That was off the wall, somebody did. How much in value in diamonds did they throw in there?
Oh, God.
Thousands of dollars?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what the value. I want to say it was like $10,000 worth.
Oh, my God.
And that's just what they took to San Francisco to get the investors going.
Oh, my. So Shakespeare, now having been that ghost town, is coming back alive with some new owners coming in?
Yeah, we got the new owners. We got new blood coming in. We got a lot of projects on the books we want to look at. We've been opening up for other groups to come in and check out the town. We've had a El Paso Prospectors Club come in.
Oh, cool.
This is a promise I made to Doc Spruill, an old member of the club, 20 years ago, and I finally held up on it. We got him in just to do an experimental hunt in there just to see how it would work so we can build up our guidelines. And they made three – the big find I thought was we found three of the old miner's discs.
Oh.
You know, so each miner was issued a disc with a number on it.
What does that mean?
So you'd hang it on the board before you would go into the mines. So in case there was an accident, they knew who was down the shaft.
Okay. Yeah.
We found three of those.
Cool.
From the old Rance 85 mine. Probably about the turn of the century. Now, I also know of a source where I get a hold of the old mining records for the 85 mining company, and hopefully before long, I can have names for those three numbers.
This would be interesting. One day, you'll put a Holiday Inn out there.
That's something we were... One of my harebrained ideas from 20 years ago, we're going to actually look at it into the feasibility. Once we finish doing restoration work on the hotel, we're talking about maybe sitting there in for those... Idiots like me have more, actually have more money than they know what to do with. So maybe set up the hotel where you can sit there and spend a night in a hotel like they did in the 1880s.
There we go. All right, Keith Wilton, thank you for coming and talking
about Shakespeare.
It's on Facebook would be the best way to get a hold of you guys.
With all the information for the tours and everything else.
Look up Shakespeare on Facebook.
On Facebook, and you got it.
Interesting stuff.
Keith, I just put a great picture of Keith Wilton. I actually stole it off of Facebook from Scott Price. It's a great profile picture of you.
Oh, Keith is in there.
Yes.
Yep. All right, and also thank you for picking the Pepe's. It was a what?
It was the red chili meat enchiladas.
There's your special today at Pepe's. That is the Oñate special. Keith, thanks for coming in. We'll see you again.
Thank you for having me.
See you down at the courthouse, dude.
We'll see you down at the courthouse.
Jury duty.
Yep.
See you there. In the meantime, next hour, we're going to talk more stuff about the Dia de los Bernie.
Bernie, yes.
That's what we're going to do. See you next
Dia
hour.
De los Bernie.
Yeah, because one of the other things we're looking at.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Political ads are nasty, and the way they're dragging Yvette Harrell through the mud is just plain wrong. This is Steve Pierce. It's been an honor to serve you in Congress. I know Yvette. She's an honest leader, and we need more honest leaders in D.C. Yvette is a huge defender of the Second Amendment. She's unapologetically pro-life, and Yvette has fought to lower taxes so we can keep more of our own money. And she co-founded the Balanced Budget Caucus because she believes government should be required to spend tax dollars responsibly and not spend more than it takes in. Yvette Harrell believes in New Mexico and us. She's the right choice for Congress. Yvette is the only candidate who will continue to fight for our values in Washington. I'm Steve Pierce, and I'm asking you to join me in voting for Yvette Harrell for Congress.
I'm Yvette Harrell, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Yvette Harrell for Congress.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries. President Trump and former President Obama are both in the campaign trail this weekend, making a final push for candidates just ahead of the midterm elections. Obama is campaigning with Florida Democratic Senate candidate Bill Nelson and Andrew Gillum, who's running for governor. Yesterday in Florida, Obama talked about the deployment of U.S. troops to the southern border.
They're even taking our brave troops away from their families for a political stunt at the border. And the men and women of our military deserve better than that.
Obama said this may be the most important election of our lifetimes. Meanwhile, President Trump is making stops in Montana and Florida today. Trump says Democrats will destroy all economic progress his administration has made.
This election will decide whether we build on the extraordinary prosperity that we've unleashed. Nobody can believe what's happened. Or whether we let the radical Democrats take control of Congress and take a giant wrecking ball to our economy and to our future.
Trump will be holding his first Make America Great Again rally in Bozeman, Montana, early this afternoon. NATO says a U.S. soldier was killed and another American wounded today in an apparent insider attack in Afghanistan. The NATO-led Resolute Support mission said the attack happened in the Afghan capital city of Kabul. It's the latest in a series of so-called green-on-blue attacks involving members of the Afghan forces on U.S. or coalition advisors. Two people are dead after the partial collapse of an Amazon fulfillment center in southeast Baltimore. Firefighters using heavy equipment recovered the body of a second victim early this morning. Fire officials said both men were inside the building when a powerful storm swept through the area Friday, causing a 50-foot wall to collapse. Pump prices are expected to drop sharply in the coming days due to an abundant supply of gas. AAA says prices have already fallen by 6 cents per gallon over the last week. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Mike Davis, checking in with our partners over at the CBS 4Warn Weather Center and taking a look at your weekend forecast. Well, the borderland is in for an absolutely beautiful weekend and pretty much the entire upcoming week with lots of sunshine and right around normal temperatures for this time of year. For your Saturday, expect mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid-70s, overnight tonight clear and cool with lows in the middle 40s, then Sunday mostly sunny and highs around 70. Get your complete forecast at cbs4local.com.
Early voting totals in 27 states are exceeding where they were in the 2014 midterm elections. Brian Shook reports.
University of Florida professor Michael McDonald says that it appears up to 50% of registered voters are going to vote in this election. The last time that many people voted in a midterm election was 1914. So far, nearly 26 million Americans have already turned in their ballots, according to data collected by Catalyst. Many of the states that are seeing higher early voting numbers have highly contested races for Congress,